Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Antoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. China expert Gordon Chang will be with me at 9 o'clock this morning to discuss his book on the subject of China and where Gordon believes we are headed in our own relationship with that country. What is the future of China? If there's a downturn in the fortunes of that country, what's it going to mean for this country's situation given the size of these trade deficits and the fact that the Chinese, as a result of globalization, are way ahead of us in regard to the foreign trade deficit that we have with them? Going to be interesting to take a look at that with him at 9 o'clock. Gordon Chang, of course, is someone that we could spend hours and hours and days and weeks with. It's one of the limitations of radio, unfortunately, that when you have these kinds of experts that come on, whether you're talking about Dr. Kaveh Farouk, the Persian culture expert and his new book, Shadows in the Desert, or you're talking about the guest that we had yesterday, Greg Felton, with his book entitled The Host and the Parasite, or today, Gordon Chang in China, we can only avail ourselves of these folks for a certain period of time on the airwaves. And then to dig more deeply into these subjects, we've got to get a hold of their books and their articles and do some reading and studying. And that's hard work. I know it is because I have to do it. And at one level, I feel privileged to do it. And I want to do it because I want to expand as a person at the same time that I want to have a decent radio broadcast and trying to bring intelligent ideas and data and analysis into play and what happens on this show. But it is really hard work. It's excruciating work. And I can tell you there are times in my own life with this that I've had tremendous discouragement. I know Mark Glenn has talked about this with me in regard to what he does with the American Free Press and also with Crescent and Cross. There are times when you think that there's no hope and no future, either for yourself as an individual or for the movements that you represent. And folks, I'm going to ask you today, not simply in terms of finances and supporting the Republic Broadcasting Network, but for those of you who do pray, I know that that would not include all of you. This is not a religious show. This is not something that is designed to convert anyone to my version of Christianity or anything of that sort. But for those of you who do pray, remember the people that are in the front lines of this kind of work. That goes for Mr. Stattmiller, the owner of this network. That goes for the technicians who produce these shows under incredible stress. We've had some guys that have been trying to revamp these archives for a number of months now. They've made tremendous progress and are still working toward an even better product. It also involves the show hosts. I know Frank Whalen personally and, of course, Michael Collins Piper and Mark Glenn. Those are just three examples of the folks who are on the Republic Broadcasting Network who from time to time work under terrific stress in regard to not only deadlines, but in regard to shortcomings and resources. And to the extent that we need to empower these people and to give them the ammunition that they need to continue the good fight for the rest of us, they need support. And they need it not next year, they need it now. That's true of the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm sure it's true of the American Free Press and what Christopher Petherick puts together there as the managing editor of that publication. And we have to think about Ron Paul in this regard too. I can tell you because I ran for the United States Senate in Delaware with the Constitution Party in 2007 that no one can have a true idea of how stressful this kind of a candidacy can be unless you're in the middle of it. Ron Paul, at a much more significant level than I, is involved in a battle. It's a battle that is a threat to him in so many ways. The stress has got to be unbelievable, especially for a person Dr. Paul's age. He needs our help, and I don't mean just money either. I mean prayers and prayerful support across the board. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on RBN. Get back to defense contractors and private contractors controlling U.S. intelligence when we return.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Attention gardeners, if you've ever wanted to grow the absolute best tasting fruits and vegetables imaginable, well, here's exciting news. There's a new product called ProtoGrow, and it's dynamite in the garden. ProtoGrow is a bioactive superfood for plants. It works by providing true broad spectrum nutrition, allowing plants to achieve their full genetic expression. So what does this mean in the garden? It means mouth-watering fruits and vegetables, brilliantly colored flowers, herbs that finally grow to medicinal strength, blue ribbon garden produce jam-packed with bioavailable minerals and trace elements, giant pumpkins, even high-potency Hybrix wheatgrass. ProtoGrow is a proprietary blend of full-spectrum nutrients from the sea. It literally contains the basic building blocks of life itself. In fact, ProtoGrow is so effective at producing rapid plant growth in record time that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. To grow tasty fruits and vegetables right now, go to growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Mark Antos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're looking at a series of news stories today in the first hour or two of the show. And then Gordon Chang, the China expert, will be with us at 9 o'clock this morning Central Time. In regard to what we've already chatted about, of course, we've been looking in particular at the corporate takeover of U.S. intelligence. This is a terrifying article today that Tim Sharrock has at globalresearch.ca. The synopsis of his article, which I've already read, is as follows. The U.S. government now outsources a vast portion of its spying operations to private firms with zero public accountability. All of the available data, because a lot of it's classified, indicates that this percentage is right around 70%. Congress doesn't know what these guys are doing. The media doesn't know what they're doing. They wouldn't tell us if they did. Certainly, you and I don't know what they're doing. And when we start looking at this whole business of the relationship between private contractors and intelligence agencies, and private contractors and the merchants of war in the Middle East, it becomes abundantly clear that what Greg Felton said yesterday is true. That the United States is moving in the direction of becoming a fascist state. Felton believes that we're already there. He may be right. But suffice it to say, when you look at this information in this article at globalresearch.ca today on the corporate takeover of U.S. intelligence, as Tim Sharrock outlines it for us, and then look at what Greg Felton was talking about yesterday, just in regard to these recent presidential executive orders that have been issued, and then to put the icing on the cake, look at what Pat Buchanan tells us from last week in regard to the specific things that Mr. Bush is doing that all seem to point toward a wider war in the Middle East, in this case with Iran. And it is a very unsettling picture, a very unsettling picture. And maybe the folks of this country can divorce themselves from the NBA playoffs just long enough to take a look at what has happened to this country. And by the way, this gets into something I wanted to share with you today about presidential funding. Since there is, in fact, a Republican presidential debate tonight that's taking place in Manchester, New Hampshire, I want to take a look at the funding that has been raised and spent thus far in this whole business of presidential politics. Open Secrets, if you're not familiar with that, Open Secrets is a very excellent site for analyzing the way in which elections in this country are funded, who's behind it, where the money's coming from. And this goes all the way down, not only dealing with the races from the presidency to the Senate to the House, but they get into all kinds of state and local races as well. When you look at the monies that are transpiring in the two major presidential parties, it's abundantly clear, of course, that Clinton and Obama and Edwards are far and away the serious candidates for the Democratic nomination for the presidency. Although it is curious, looking at what Open Secrets does tell us, that Bill Richardson and Chris Dodd and Joe Biden have raised more money than I would have suspected. But nonetheless, they're trailing far behind Ms. Clinton in particular, and Obama and Edwards running at positions 2 and 3 currently. But the Republican race is an especially fascinating one in regard to what it illustrates about the corporate control of everything in this country as it relates to politics, economy, culture, and national security. When you look at what Open Secrets says to us today about the Republican presidential candidates, I want to share these figures with you. Right now, of course, the three top candidates in money raised are, in fact, the so-called top-tier people being promoted by corporate Zionist media. Mitt Romney has raised the most money thus far. He's raised $23.5 million, I'm estimating here. It's actually $23,434,634. Call it $23.5 million for the sake of radio simplification. Rudolph Giuliani has raised $16.6 million, and John McCain is coming in third at a little over $13 million. Now, the interesting thing is to see the spending. When you look at the spending of these three candidates, this is where things narrow considerably between Romney and Giuliani. Romney has spent basically twice as much money as Giuliani in the early going. So when you actually look at cash on hand, Romney is trailing Giuliani, just barely. They're Romney at $11,863,000. Rudy Giuliani has $11,949,000 to spend. John McCain, a distant third at $5,180,000. But then when you look at debts, Romney has far more debt than Giuliani. Romney has debts, campaign debts of $2,350,000. John McCain has campaign debts of $1,800,000, $812,000. Rudy Giuliani only has $88,000 in debt. So looking at all of these different figures, Mitt Romney has raised far and away the most money, but he's spent a lot more, and he has far more debt than his closest competitor, Mr. Giuliani. So overall, Mr. Giuliani would appear to be in the best shape of any of the Republican contenders in terms of his overall financial picture. That's not good news for any of us, of course, who are America First conservatives. But then Romney and McCain are losers in that regard, too. So there you have it. It's a complete wash in regard to the Republican Party. But then I want to get to Ron Paul's figures to illustrate my point. You know, Ron Paul is our candidate. Those of us who are sick of the Israeli lobby, those of us who are sick of central banking, those of us who are sick of corporate control of this country and the destruction of what was the United States of America, those of us who are sick of this war of counterinsurgency in Iraq that's going nowhere, those of us who are terrified by the prospect that this whole situation is going to expand into Iran, need to contemplate the fact that whereas Romney has raised $23.5 million, roughly, Giuliani has raised $16.6 million, roughly, and McCain has raised a little over $13 million thus far, Ron Paul is operating with a total raised of $639,000, almost $640,000. Compare $640,000 with $13 million, $16 million, or $24 million. And I think you see where I'm coming from. Ron has spent $115,000 thus far, according to Open Secrets. He has cash on hand of $524,919. So he has a little over $500,000 to spend, but he's up against guys that have 11.9, 11.8, and 5.1 million to spend in terms of cash on hand. So that puts into perspective what it is that he's fighting. As far as cash on hand, Ron Paul is presently behind Tom Tancredo and Sam Brownback in terms of what the media calls the second-tier candidates. What am I trying to say here? Ron Paul has done an incredible job thus far, according to all of the polls. After the MSNBC debate, after the Fox News debate, Ron Paul was in the top tier of candidates, the top two, according to who the public thought did the best in those conversations. And he's done that, folks, having raised only $639,000 thus far and having cash on hand of only $524,919. Think what the case would be if we could get Ron Paul even past Tancredo and Brownback in terms of figures raised. Ron has raised almost $640,000. Sam Brownback, who has not done anywhere near as well in the debates as Ron Paul, has raised $1.8 million. Why can't we double Ron Paul's figures to where he at least is leading the pack in regard to the so-called second-tier candidates in money raised? Why can't we do that? I think we can do it. Let's redouble our efforts in that regard. At the same time that I'm asking you to redouble your efforts on behalf of the Republic Broadcasting Network and also the American Free Press, that's the triangle or the trinity that I'm asking you to support today: RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, the American Free Press, and Congressman Ron Paul and his fight for president. And again, I think you can see where I'm coming from with this. Is Ron Paul's presidential bid a microcosm of what John Stadtmiller is up against at the Republic Broadcasting Network? Is Ron Paul's presidential candidacy a microcosm of what Christopher Petherick is up against week after week as the managing editor of the American Free Press? I think it's abundantly clear that that's the case. And when you think of how well Congressman Paul has done thus far in these opinion polls taken after these televised debates, and he's done that on $639,000, when there are guys in front of him, there are, let's see, five people in front of him who have raised $23.5 million, $16.6 million, $13 million, $1.8 million, and $1.2 million. And Ron Paul's done that well on $639,000. Come on, folks. We need to get him in the race, really get him in the race, and that means money. There's no way around it. We've got to enable him to compete, and he's competing not for himself. He's competing for you, and he's competing for me. So let's get on the stick with Ron Paul and with RBN and with the American Free Press. I'll be back to continue with this article on the corporate takeover of U.S. intelligence. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned for this, and stay tuned for Gordon Chang at 9 a.m. We'll be back.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
This is Mark Pantos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Gordon Chang, the China expert, will be with me at 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time, to discuss China for 1 hour. And as I've mentioned before, folks, whether we're talking about Gordon Chang or my guest yesterday, Greg Felton, the author of The Host and the Parasite, or we think about what Dr. Kaveh Farouk had to share with us last week with his new book, Shadows in the Desert, Ancient Persia at War, we can't possibly utilize these people in the way that we would like to, utilizing the medium of radio. All we can do is introduce ourselves to, in the most surface kind of way, to what these folks have devoted their lives to. We need to begin with that, certainly. In that regard, radio is a viable option and a viable medium. That's why I'm involved in it, among other things. But eventually, we need to go more deeply than that and to avail ourselves over time in the actual works that these people have produced. That's a lot of work, isn't it? And I know that for many of you out there, your lives in regard to the other things that are required of you on a daily basis make reading and studying almost impossible. I'm not suggesting that any of us are going to ever be able to spend as much time in these areas as we would like, but I'm hopeful that we might at least move in that direction. Put aside even half an hour a day to read something that's substantive, maybe based upon something you've heard in this network. And if you should avail yourself of Dr. Kaveh Farouk's book, or Greg Felton's book, or Gordon Chang's book on China, if any of you do that, then what I have done here at the Republic Broadcasting Network, in fact, will have been justified, because I'm not the expert on these subjects. I'm the facilitator, as I was describing to someone today, yesterday over lunch. It's my job to put myself in touch with these people in regard to they themselves personally, and then I need to know a little bit about their subject and about their career and about their latest publications. But ultimately, I'm never going to be the master of those things. They're the masters. I'm the person who tries to learn enough to make myself meaningfully conversant with them in regard to drawing them out for you in regard to what they've written and what they've said. And if I'm the middle person between these scholars and you, and if I bring you together with them in a way that results in mutual growth and mutual edification, then I've done my job. That's what Mark Dankoff's America is all about. That's what the Republic Broadcasting Network is all about. And I hope that you continue to support us in the days ahead. Let's get back then to this whole business of the corporate takeover of U.S. intelligence. Tim Sharrock has written this article for Michael Chasadovsky's globalresearch.ca, which you can find again at the Center for Research on Globalization up in Canada. This is a terrifying piece because it shows the extent to which we have become a police state and are continuing to move in that direction, where you have private contractors doing things in the collection and analysis of intelligence, both foreign and domestic, that Congress is not aware of, the media is not aware of and wouldn't tell us if they were. In many cases, the president may not be aware of. The left hand does not always know what the right hand is doing. And therefore, when you look at the way in which all kinds of the most sensitive intelligence operations are being subcontracted out to private individuals and private companies without oversight and direction and cohesiveness, this puts into perspective the way in which these economic and political interests are involved in driving the conflicts that we are involved in presently as a nation. It's terrifying business. Getting back into what Sharrock has already told us this morning, contract spending based upon the DNI data and estimates from this period remained fairly steady from 1995 to 2001 at about $20 billion a year. Then after 9/11, it jumped to $32 billion. It jumped to $42 billion as of 2003. And because nearly 90% of intelligence contracts are classified and the budget's kept secret, it's difficult to draw up a list of top contractors and their revenues derived from intelligence work. And, of course, we did mention in regard to previously looking at Tim's article this morning that the top five intelligence contractors appear to be Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, the Science Applications International Corporation, or SAIC, General Dynamics, and LR3 Communications. Other major contractors include Booz Allen Hamilton, CACI International, there's a familiar one, DRS Technologies, and Mantech International. The industry's growth and dependence on government budgets has made intelligence contracting an attractive market for former high-ranking national security officials like former CIA Director George Tenet, who now earns millions of dollars working as a director and advisor to four companies that hold contracts with U.S. intelligence agencies and do big business in Iraq and elsewhere. This Tenet situation, by the way, is something I'd like to briefly stop and make an editorial comment about. There's something on him in Pat Buchanan's The American Conservative, something on Tenet currently in Ceylon that will underscore what is in this article, The Corporate Takeover of U.S. Intelligence, which you can find at globalresearch.ca. Come back to this when Mark Dankoff's America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It truly is the day and age of the Mark of the Beast. Stay tuned. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Mark Antonoff, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Gordon Chang will join me this morning at 9 o'clock Central Time to talk about China, and I think you will enjoy that show in the last hour. If you have a question for Gordon Chang or for me, for that matter, you can call us at 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. Before we get into what Yossi Melman tells us today about the American involvement in targeted killings, just like their Israeli counterparts, I would draw your attention to what Tim Sharrock tells us specifically about George Tenet in his article, The Corporate Takeover of U.S. Intelligence. If you go to the bottom of that page and that article, Tim has a link to what he has written on George Tenet for Salon. Also, Philip Giraldi, who does his deep cover analysis for Pat Buchanan's The American Conservative, the current print edition of The American Conservative, which you can buy at Barnes & Noble or at Borders, has Giraldi's analysis of George Tenet, the companies he's connected with,
the money he's making, we're talking about millions of dollars, that involved the director of the former director of the Central Intelligence Agency receiving millions of dollars from private interests that are directly involved in profit because of this war in Iraq. Are we a fascist state? Are we being run by multinational corporations who control our political process? Are we being controlled by central banking? I think the George Tenet story would underscore that, in fact, we are. And if you get a hold of these statistics, Tim Sharrock, of course, talks about them at Salon. There is a link to that article from his article that we've been looking at this morning at globalresearch.ca. You'll see the tail of the tape there. What Philip Giraldi has said about Tenet in regard to what he's written for Pat Buchanan's The American Conservative will also give you the basic picture as to what's going on here. Who's running the foreign policy of this country? Is it the Congress, or is it a series of intelligence and defense contractors involved in millions and billions of dollars and who are paying off governmental officials to do whatever they want to do in promoting situations abroad that are not necessarily at all in the interest of the average American, that are not under the control of the Congress of the United States or anyone else for that matter? And these are the same folks, let's face it, who are among those pumping money into these presidential campaigns. According to what Open Secrets tells us today, it's going to take a Republican or Democratic presidential contender close to $500 million by the time this process is over just to be competitive, quote-unquote. What's Ron Paul raised up to this point? A little bit more than $600,000. He has a little bit more than $500,000 to spend. That kind of puts into perspective what it is that we're fighting in regard to keeping Congressman Paul in this thing against these kinds of corporately controlled interests. Keep it in mind, folks, this is also the same battle that we're undertaking at the Republic Broadcasting Network and at the American Free Press. We are the true David fighting the real Goliath. And to the extent that we have any continued ability to fight in this situation, we got to have your help, and we've got to have it now. Not just financial help, but your prayerful support. Your prayerful support and the support of your family members and friends. Keep it going in the days ahead. RBN, AFP, and Ron Paul. That's the secular trinity that I hope that you're going to support in these next few days and weeks ahead. Because there's no other dog in the hunt, folks. And we are approaching a total one-world government, new world order takeover of our lives. We are approaching the onset of a third world war. And this isn't just Mark Dankoff predicting this. These are the predictions that are coming forth from a lot of conventional sources in the national security establishment and in the news media that have far more prestige than I do, are far more well-known than I am, who are agreeing with me that this is the final take on the analysis of the data that's in front of us. Is the United States becoming a fascist state? Greg Felton was talking about this yesterday. I hope you get a copy of Greg's book, which is entitled The Host and the Parasite, How Israel's Fifth Column Consumed America. It's a Dandelion Books publication. What Greg was talking about yesterday from Vancouver, Canada, is something that Yossi Melman, who is definitely quite chummy with Israeli intelligence, admits is the case today what he has posted for the so-called International Consortium of Investigative Reporters. The Center for Public Integrity has this article. It's entitled Operation Targeted Killings. U.S. shows signs of emulating controversial Israeli anti-terrorism policy. This comes from Yossi Melman, who again is quite cozy with the government of Israel and their intelligence community. Yossi Melman, you may recall, helped Dan Raviv with the production of a book entitled Every Spy a Prince. Mr. Melman says, coming from Tel Aviv, Israel, that one of Israel's most controversial anti-terrorism tactics has been its policy of targeted killings of suspects believed to be planning attacks. Since the start of the Second Palestinian Intifada or Uprising in the fall of 2000, dozens of members of the Palestinian groups such as Hamas, the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigades, and Islamic Jihad have been assassinated by Israeli military and security forces. As American intelligence and armed forces continue to employ many Israeli counterterrorism and interrogation techniques, the question of whether targeted killings have become another arrow in the American quiver looms large. Several post 9/11 targeted killings of terrorist suspects have been publicly attributed to the United States, though the CIA reiterated to the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists its policy of not commenting on this subject. The first was the assassination of Al-Qaeda Sinan al-Harthi, a senior al-Qaeda operative linked to the 2000 terrorist bombing of the USS Cole in Yemen. His jeep, along with five other men in it, was blown up in Yemen in November of 2002 by a missile fire from an unmanned CIA drone reportedly launched from Djibouti. In May of 2005, reports surfaced that another CIA drone attack killed a Libyan al-Qaeda suspect hiding out in Pakistan. Amnesty International, the international human rights group, worried that killing represented a, quote, extrajudicial execution in violation of international law, unquote. In December that same year, Abu Ramza Rabia, another al-Qaeda leader, was killed by a U.S. missile strike in Pakistan. In early 2006, citing American officials familiar with the U.S. program of drone-based assassinations, the Los Angeles Times reported that the program was expanding. It confirmed at least 19 incidents in which U.S. unmanned Predator drones successfully launched rockets against terrorist suspects abroad since the September 11, 2001 attacks. Quote, in most cases, we need the approval of the host country to do them, unquote, one former State Department counterterrorism official told the newspaper. Quote, however, there are a few countries where the president has decided that we can whack someone, his words, we can whack someone without the approval or knowledge of the host government, unquote. Anthony Dworkin, executive director of the Crimes of War Project, a nonprofit organization that raises awareness about the laws of war, said that no one knows the true extent to which the CIA or other American forces have engaged in targeted killings since the September 11th attacks. Quote, I don't know of anyone tracking targeted killings, unquote, he said. There is some ambiguity for what constitutes a targeted killing. The U.S. has been doing it in Afghanistan and Pakistan. We don't know exactly when targeted killings began, unquote. In 2003, then-Deputy Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert, he is now the Prime Minister, revealed that Israel was considering a targeted killing of then-Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat. Quote, in my eyes, from a moral point of view, this is no different than the eliminations of others who were involved in activating acts of terror, unquote, the New York Times quoted Olmert as saying. Since his death in 2004, Palestinian officials and members of Arafat's family have publicly speculated that Israel might have been involved in Arafat's death, a charge Israel has denied. In 2004, Hamas co-founder Ahmed Ismail Yassin was killed in Gaza by a missile fired from an Israeli helicopter. During the 2006 Lebanese war between Hezbollah and Israel, Israel tried to gather intelligence information pinpointing the whereabouts of Hassan Nasrallah, the Secretary General of Hezbollah, and his top aides. In the early days of the war, Israeli aircraft attacked a bunker in southern Beirut, where it believed Hezbollah leaders were hiding, pounding it with what it described as 23 tons of bombs. Hezbollah later said that none of its leaders were killed in the strike. The Israeli use of assassination as a national security method goes back decades. One important element of the tactic is that Israeli assassinations have been directed at foreigners defined as state enemies, quote-unquote. Targets over the years have included officers from Arab armies, German Nazi scientists who work for Arab military projects, and Palestinian terrorists. Israeli intelligence agents, their foreign helpers, and Israel's military units executed the operations outside of Israel's borders and in the occupied territories, but never inside Israel or against Israeli citizens. Quote, I flatly rejected requests and calls by cabinet ministers and my colleagues to assassinate Israeli citizens suspected of serious crimes against state security, regardless if they were Jewish or Arab, said the late Isser Harel, who headed Shabak from 1948 to 1952. Harel said this in a 2002 interview with ICIJ. Quote, I also insisted that they would be brought to court and charged, unquote. He goes on to indicate that the GSS, or Shabak, under my directorship, whose jurisdiction was within Israeli borders, neither killed nor tortured Israeli citizens, neither Israeli Jews nor Israeli Arabs. Amos Manor was, in fact, the one who said this as the head of Shabak from 1953 to 1963, and said this in another 2002 interview with ICIJ. Manor went on to say that, quote, "Even if an Israeli citizen was suspected of treason, we would do our utmost to capture, interrogate, and eventually charge him and put him on trial. I was very sensitive not to break the law. The only unlawful operations we conducted at the time were penetrations and breaking into houses to collect information about the targets," unquote. The first known targeted killing occurred in 1956 when an Israeli agent gave a rigged parcel to Colonel Mustafa Hafez, the director of the Egyptian military intelligence in Gaza, which was then under Egyptian control. When Hafez opened the package, it exploded in his face, mortally wounding him. In the early 1960s, the Mossad, Israel's equivalent of the CIA, sent letter bombs to German scientists. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Had another brief technical glitch there. Gordon Chang will be with us at 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time, and we'll be chatting with him about the future of China, as well as the future of America as far as its relationship with the Chinese government and the Chinese nation is concerned. We've been looking in these recent minutes at what Yossi Melman talked about today at the Center for Public Integrity. Operation Targeted Killings. U.S., according to Yossi Melman, the U.S. shows signs of emulating the controversial Israeli anti-terrorism policy. You know, I've been reading through this article and discovering, of course, that Yossi Melman, who quite clearly is an Israeli intelligence asset historically, that Melman is nonetheless giving us very, very succinct and excellent information, I think, this morning that's absolutely accurate about the whole history of what that country has been doing in regard to killing people that it deems to be its opponents and killing them without judicial trials and killing them without convictions and doing so on the basis of the decision of who knows whom. As it relates to both the Israeli government generally and the Israeli intelligence community specifically. The thing that is scary is that Melman presents the evidence this morning that the United States is moving in this direction and has been moving in this direction for some time. And, of course, the Los Angeles Times reports from 2006 that talk about these so-called U.S. unmanned predator drone assassinations underscore the fact that this is quite clearly what is going on. Are we, in fact, moving toward a fascist regime in this country, as Greg Felton was suggesting yesterday, coming from Vancouver? I think quite clearly, let's look at the evidence. We have Yossi Melman's data today, which underscores what the LA Times has already reported, and that is that the United States has, in fact, adopted the targeted killings projects that have been going on with Israel for a very long period of time. The United States, of course, has been subsidizing Israel in its own targeted killing policy for a very, very long period of time, 60 years. But now the United States has apparently moved into the next phase of this where we are overtly involved in this practice ourselves. Quoting again this one former State Department counterterrorism official who's talking to the Los Angeles Times in 2006, in most cases, we need the approval of the host country to do them, meaning targeted killings. However, there are a few countries where the president has decided that we can whack someone without the approval or knowledge of the host government. Apparently also the president has decided that we can do this in total disregard of international law, as well as the Constitution of the United States. So if the president has decided that we can do these things abroad, what does the president think in his own mind about these executive orders, which have been giving him all kinds of new powers domestically? Keep this in mind, folks. We were talking about this yesterday. Presidential Homeland or Presidential National Security Directive 51 and Homeland National Security Directive 20. What is in those documents? Basically, they say that Mr. Bush can declare a national emergency anytime he wants to, for any reason that he wants to, and for any length of time that he so desires without the advice and consent of Congress. In conjunction with what Tim Sharrock has told us today about the corporate takeover of U.S. intelligence, in regard to what Yossi Melman has talked about when it comes to targeted killings, where are we headed as a country? This is Mark Gancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, and RBN, back with Gordon Chang at 9 a.m. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
This is Mark Gancos coming to you
live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Morgan Chang will be with us this morning at a little at right around 9 o'clock Central Standard Time, and I hope that we have an excellent conversation with Gordon. I'm confident that we will, because quite clearly he's one of the key experts available anywhere on the whole subject of China. And in the hour that we will have, I'm going to try and mention specifically some of the latest articles that he has posted, which you can find on the net. And when I post my show description on Gordon Chang at Breaking All the Rules News, I will try to include clickable links to some of his most recent articles that he has provided for me, so that each and every one of you will have the same opportunity that I have to get into those things and to, after the interview, to read specifically some of the very, very fine bits of academic information and analysis that he brings to us via the net. And he will be with us at 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time. Again, folks, we need to support the Republic Broadcasting Network. I can't begin to tell you how important it is that you are involved with us in this effort. I've said before that I think that there is, as it were, a secular trinity of things that you need to be supporting right now, those of you who are in a position to do it. Only God knows if you are. But if you are, I hope that you'll consider three things: the Republic Broadcasting Network, the American Free Press, and the presidential candidacy of Ron Paul. We talked this morning about how much money Ron has raised, a little over $600,000. How does that compare with the $23 million of Mitt Romney, or the almost $17 million that Giuliani has raised thus far, or the $13 million that the malignant John McCain has come up with? Fact of the matter is that in that context, $600,000, $630,000, whatever it is not very much money, to state the obvious. And yet Ron Paul has done amazingly well thus far in the debates, as all of the available polls show. To the extent that we can keep him in the race, he can only do it with resources. To the extent that the Republic Broadcasting Network can stay in the race, we need your resources as well. Contact us at www.republicbroadcasting.org with your gifts. Prior to 6 p.m. Central, ask for extension 116. After 6 p.m. Central, ask for extension 115. So if you're doing it this morning while I'm on the air, ask for extension 116 if you call us at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Otherwise, utilize PayPal at www.republicbroadcasting.org, or the third option is to utilize U.S. Mail. The Republic Broadcasting Network office is RBN, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That's the Republic Broadcasting Network, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. How important is this right now? Let's get back to what we were discussing earlier. We're talking about targeted killings, foreign policy that is being funded by national corporations and the Israeli lobby, and an American president supervising the executive by the Constitution of the United States. This is the context in which we fight, folks, and we need to help. We'll be back with Gordon Chang. Mark Ancos America returns live from San Antonio and RBN. Stay tuned.
True. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years.